The message today was confirmed, actually, by a couple things. And Janine's word was actually a confirmation of my message today. The name of the message today is called The Shout of One Accord. Or another word would be the worship mob of the church. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. And Luke chapter 4. So get in your Bibles, Luke chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 16. We're going to talk about the worship mob of the early church, or the shout of one accord. Okay. So Jesus came to Nazareth in verse 16, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up and read the scriptures. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given unto him, and feel free to follow along within your Bible or just look right there. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, and these beautiful words from Isaiah: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Everybody say favor. Amen. Amen. This is the year of the Lord's favor because Jesus said so. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. I mean, when he read those words, everybody stared at him. They said, "Wow." And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, I put the hum in there. "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me." Remember, he's in his hometown. "Doubtless you'll quote to me the proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did in Capernaum, do right here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there are many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them." Everybody say none of them. None of them. "But only to Zarephath, the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." And when they heard those things, everybody in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and like a mob, I'm telling you, I'm putting this in there, but this is what they did. They all got up like a mob. They were enraged. They got up, drove him out of town, and brought him to the brow of the hill that their town was built so that they could throw him off the cliff. This is the church folk that he grew up with. But passing through their midst, he just went away. They couldn't touch him. But what a scene. The mob at the synagogue. The synagogue mob. The mob in the synagogue. The mob rule took over when Jesus showed up. And we in the United States have seen a replay of the mob in our generation. Those of us that grew up in the 50s, the 60s in particular, we saw the mob during those protests. And they went away in the 70s, thankfully. But now they're back. The mob has returned. We've seen it billions, by the way, in 2020, there were billions of dollars of damage because of the mob. And y'all know which mob I'm talking about. And it was all orchestrated because of the power of cell phones, internet, connections, all that kind of stuff facilitates it in a new way. And it's driven by money. Who, someone said money? That's true. All right. As a matter of fact, this mob situation was tried to, and it was very interesting because on January 6th at the Ellipse that we were present at, there was no mob that we saw. We didn't see it. Now, we didn't go to the Treasury building, but it was more like a conference or a, it was a, huh? Yeah, we didn't go to the Capitol, I mean. So we weren't at the Capitol, so I can't speak for that. But I just wanted to say that where we were was not a mob. And there's a difference. What happened in the synagogue? What was the ruling emotion? Anger. They were filled with anger. And when somebody gets angry, and if you live long enough, you know there's a time when someone will push you to the point where you get mad and your anger takes over and you're not in control anymore. You been there? Done that? Show me your t-shirt. I'm just kidding. There it is. Yeah, I've been there. I don't like it. When somebody hits your button or you get angry, and hopefully it's not a scripture that I'm quoting to you like Jesus did. But look what Jesus said to those guys. He said, they were like, who's this guy, Joseph's son? They'd heard about this stuff. And Jesus said to them, he said to them, I'm not sent to you. Because he said, he talked about Elijah. They knew Elijah the prophet. And Elijah did a miracle. It wasn't a Jewish person that got the miracle. And it wasn't a Jewish person that got the miracle from Elisha. And so they were calling him some great prophet. And he was trying to confront them with who they were. And they didn't like it. And they got angry. And they became a mob. And we are seeing a mob in our day like we have not seen since the 60s. Anybody here, who of you were not born, okay, after, and anybody from the 70s on? Anybody here, raise your hand if you were born from 1970 onward. Raise your hand. So you missed out on all that. See that? That's a whole different ball game back then. And we were reading about it, and this country was hurting really bad. But I'm telling you, God sent revival in the 60s that countered that mob spirit. The Jesus movement was rocking and rolling, and it rolled across the country. This church was founded in the 70s as the wave of that Holy Spirit revival hit after the mob rule of the 60s. 1968 in particular was the worst year, one of the worst years this country has ever seen. And we were in the Vietnam War, which is horrible. See what I'm saying? It was just a horrible time. But that revival kept rolling through. So I'm telling you that when the enemy revives the mob and mob rule, God has got a worship mob happening where we're going to be just like she prophesied it, guys. Come on. Instead of the mobs in the street, she said, you're going to be dancing in the street. That was my message. Sorry, Janine, I'm going to quit now. That's it. We've got it. I want to talk to you about this thing about mob rule. And I want to talk to you about what God wants to do and what God is going to do. I feel like I'm prophesying what God's going to do in this nation, okay? So pay attention. Because I'm telling you that there's a particular word in the New Testament that's used in key times in the book of Acts, it's translated in the King James Bible, one accord. They were in one accord. That word one accord literally means one passion. That word one hunger, one tremendous passion. And it's used in two different ways in the book of Acts. It's used about the mob right here in Luke chapter 4 also. It's used in Luke chapter 4. It says, of one accord, they tried to push Jesus off the cliff. So that mob took over. But also, it's used that they were in prayer in one accord. So there is a use of the mob where your emotions and your heart and your intensity is for God in a way that is not just you just in your daily life. It's when people gather together and God creates this intensity of prayer and praise and worship that the church is going to just move and dance in the street. I'm telling you, dance, shout, pray for healing. I'm telling you, there's going to be this intensity of the church coming together that is going to overcome the mob. Now the mob's going to keep trying because that's the way the devil works. Stir people up, get them angry, and you see pictures of them on the internet, you know. Just the screaming, the veins sticking out. You know, you can see it. They work himself up into this thing, probably with methamphetamines, probably. Okay, but we've got the Holy Spirit that gets us that intensity that says, I am going out there and I'm going to make a scene for Jesus. Come on. So here we are. So you've got sections in the Bible like when Stephen was preaching. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen was preaching. So what did they do? It says that they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears and they ran to him and they stoned him. That's the same word, the same mob action. The first martyr of the early church was killed by a mob. Amen. That's right. All right. Now, political. There's a political mob unity that comes. And we see that in Acts chapter 12. And in Acts chapter 12, it's the story about King Herod. King Herod was the ruling leader of that area. And he was angry with the people to the north of him in Tyre and Sidon in verse 20. And it says they came to him in one accord. There's the same word about the church praying in one accord. They came together highly motivated, full of passion, with one passion. They came to him, a big group of people, except what they did was they asked for peace because they knew they would starve if they didn't get him on their side. So the whole group of people was motivated politically to please the political leader. And what they did was, Herod gets on his royal robes. He's like feeling really good, man. All of the entire nation of Tyre and Sidon is here trying to persuade me to feed them. And so what does he do? He gets proud. He gets full of himself. He puts on his royal robes because they're, I want to use the term, but I can't say it here. They are really being nice to him. They are puffing him up. They're saying wonderful things about him like a mob. They are just totally, okay? And he's there, and he gets out in his royal robes, and he takes his seat on the throne, and this mob says what? The voice of a God and not a man. They're shouting it out. They're shouting it as a mob of people. And then what happens? Immediately the angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory. And he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. Now that is a supernatural death right there. I mean, to sit there and watch someone be eaten by worms in a blink of an eye, just like that in front of a whole group of people. What was God trying to say in this thing? that when that mob gets together for the enemy, God will judge the political leaders that stoked that mob. And I'm telling you, we are going to see some angels of the Lord get out there and strike down some Herods. But the key is our job is not to worry about that. Our job is to get out there and be the worship mob that God wants us to be. Because the early church was the worship mob. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it said, all of these with one accord were devoting themselves. And so you understand, when we get together to pray, we are not just saying, oh, we're having a prayer meeting. It says with one heart, with one passion, not just with one mind. It's not just your head. It's your heart. It is your passion. It's your emotion. When I get here on Sunday morning and I come out here and I see y'all coming, my heart starts to get really happy because it's Sunday. We are getting together. God's people are here. And I know that every time we get together, God does really cool stuff. He did it today. Every Sunday, something cool happens here. Every Sunday. And every Sunday, God wants us to take the temperature, if you will, the spiritual temperature of what we're doing, and it's time to get rowdy for God. It's time to get rowdy for God. It's time to get crazy for God in your way and by the Holy Spirit. I'm not asking you to do anything that the Holy Spirit is not creating in you. And we'll get to that a little bit later. I'm going to give you some quotes. But God has to put the fire inside of your bones. He's got to do it. Okay? The enemy will fill, and you can see these mob people. These other people, you could see demons all over them. They just the way they look, the contortions, the weirdness, they're just, you know, just it's just it's the devil. You can see that the demons, and you want to, my heart breaks for these people that are getting manipulated by the devil. Wow. Okay, so now we're going to go to our central scripture here. Oh, let me give you one about Acts chapter 2. It says, every day they were attending the temple together as one heart, as the group, the motivated mob, worshiping in the temple and in their homes, praising God. Now let's look at Acts chapter 24. And this is the passage I want to focus on. Acts chapter 24, and it's about the church. And this is what grabbed my attention when we were, when I was just waiting on the Lord for this particular day. Okay, Acts chapter 24. So I'm going to pick up this story in verse 23, but it's the story of Peter and John who did a tremendous healing. God used them to heal a man at the Gate Beautiful, and he got miraculously healed, and a revival broke out in the temple grounds. And the leaders of the temple were angry because God moved in a religious place that didn't see God move. Just like Jesus got in the synagogue and preached the word of the Lord, it got everybody riled up. The same thing happened when God healed this cripple that sat at the gate and took alms every day. He didn't need to take alms anymore. So he was healed, and it got the leaders really angry. And so they brought him in and yelled at them and told them, don't do this anymore in the name of Jesus. And then I want you to see what happened when they were released. And I believe this is a picture of the church for the United States and the world during this generation at this season. This is the way God wants us to be. I'm telling you, not just this church. I feel like this is for the body of Christ throughout America, because what we've seen is we've seen hostility to churches that we have not seen before by our government leaders and by people. I've never seen it quite like this kind of hostility. And in the media, we're seeing hostility towards Christians and injustice, actually. Okay? So it says, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard it, they lifted, this is the verse right here. When they heard it, they lifted their voices, everybody say, in one accord. It's the same word. The translator keeps shifting words. He uses the word together. But I want you to hear me. It is the same word for the mob. Same exact word. They lifted, they gave the sound of one accord. It's their passion. This is not, thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's just sing and praise God today. It's not that at all. It's like, Jesus! Yeah. They got together after getting out of jail and seeing somebody try to intimidate them. They got together and they said, Jesus, we're praying right now. We're going to turn the volume up. We are going to turn the volume up because they want you quiet. Let's do it louder. It says that they, as one accord, everybody together in the emotion and the power and the passion of what was going on. It says, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of your father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the United States mobs rage? Why did these, I won't mention a name, why are they raging? Why are they plotting in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves against the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. There is a raging that has been going on, a season of the enemy that he's been introducing into society. And God is going to come against that with the anointing of God's people coming together and praising God. Okay, for truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate. These were political people that started to come against God's people. And in the past, our political leaders were not, they were neutral. But there's an antagonism now that has not been before. And it says here, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined take this place. So God wants you to know, as they were praying, they were proclaiming that God was in this thing, that they weren't doing anything that God wasn't in control of. And that's really important. It is always important as a believer to know that whatever happens in this world, we're not trying to blame God. We're saying that God is in control. And though the enemy may try to come in like the flood, it says the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. We know there is an enemy in this world. And that enemy will do things. But that doesn't stop God from doing something else to checkmate or to win. And this is what we have to see. It is not, I see it as a chess game. And the enemy will try his best to win, or any kind of sports kind of thing. That is not going to stop God. And I remember, this is crazy now. A couple years ago, I felt like prophetically the Kansas City Chiefs were going to win the Super Bowl. They had never won the Super Bowl. You remember? Do you guys remember that a couple years ago? The Super Bowl. Sorry, girls. I just felt that it was going to be a sign for this country. There was a spiritual sign in the Kansas City Chiefs going to win that. I just knew it. I just felt it. They had never won before. And I think it had something to do with the chief or something like that. I forgot. I can't tell you exactly how the Lord told me this. And I remember watching that football game. And if you remember, anybody here likes football, Kansas City was losing halfway through. They were losing. I'm going, okay, God, I know what you told me. I know what you told me. I know what you told me. Anyway, and I'm watching this game, and he's there losing. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, they're going to win, and it's going to be a sign for this country of revival. I just felt that. And how many years ago was that? 2 years? 2 years ago? 2020 or 2019 or 2018? When was it? You remember? 2018. There it is. Okay, that's what I thought. Right before COVID. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, in January. Right, okay. So, yeah, 2020. So, listen, they won. And I believe, it says that when they prayed, now here's the thing. It says that you're going to stretch out. It says, look at their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. So they are praying a shouting prayer. They're shouting this prayer together. They're lifting up their, now lifting up your voice means you're saying it loud enough to be heard. Okay? So like, Lord Jesus, speak your word. Give your servants the ability to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. Signs and wonders performed. They're all saying the same words. This is a miracle prayer. They're saying this prayer together. And they're shouting it out together. And when they had prayed, the place in which they gathered together had an earthquake. It was shaken. It was shaken. And we sang a song we hadn't sung in a long time. Danny picked the song prophetically. Do you feel the mountains tremble? We can see that God, you're moving. Swing wide the heavenly gates. God does things with earthquakes. And he likes to shake the ground. And these people had a shouting prayer meeting that literally shook the building they were in. And this was in response to the governmental leaders coming against them for doing signs and wonders and shaking things up. They said, no, we're not backing down. We're going to have a shouting prayer meeting. Praise God. We are going to shout. Now, I got really encouraged by a guy named Smith Wigglesworth. I read one of his chapters of his book, Ever Increasing Faith. And I'm going to give you a couple quotes from Smith Wigglesworth. He was a man back in England, a man of faith during the Pentecostal revival, in the very beginnings of the Pentecostal revival. Okay, so this goes back 100 and some years, okay? Come on here. Anyway, all right, so here's my first quote. You ready? Put it on up here. Look at that. A church that does not know how to pray and to shout will never be shaken. I want this church to be known as a shouting church as well as a praying church. We got to do both, guys. Not a mumbling church, but a shouting church. So we're going to get a little Pentecostal, okay? Is that right? All right. If you live in a place, this is Smith Wigglesworth, right? If you live in a place like that, that doesn't know how to shout, you might as well write, Ichabod, the glory of the Lord has departed over the threshold of that church. Now, Smith Wigglesworth did not mince words. He told it like it was. Let me say it again. If you live in a church like that, you may as well write, Ichabod, the glory of the Lord has departed over that threshold. Amen. Thank you, bro. It is only when men, that's everybody, have learned the secret of prayer, of power, and of praise that God comes forth. Prayer, power, praise. You got to do them all. Some people say, well, I praise God on the inside. This is Smith Wigglesworth talking. He's a preacher now. I praise God inwardly, but if there's an abundance of praise in your heart, your mouth can't help but speak it. So don't say you got it on the inside and don't show it on the outside, because if it was on the inside, it would be on the outside. You wouldn't be able to hold it back because it's in you.
And the disciples, they came back, the apostles came back from being reamed out by the political leaders of Jerusalem, and they came into that meeting and they started shouting their prayer. It took their prayer to a whole new level because of the stupidity of the world. Okay. Amen. Listen to this. Come on. I just think this is great. It is time. Everybody say it's time. This is Smith Wigglesworth, not me. People knew how to shout in faith. It's time. It's time we learn to shout in faith. As they contemplate the eternal power of our God, to whom is nothing, it's nothing to quicken and raise the dead. Now, in this particular story, he actually literally raised a kid that was dying from the, you know, okay, in this particular story. But I'm not going to tell you that. But I want to tell you that's what happened, okay? I come across some who would be giants of the power of God, but they have no shout of faith. Let me say that again. I come across some people who would be giants in the power of God, but they don't have the shout of faith. So he's basically saying, if you want to be a giant with God, get shouting. I find everywhere people who go down, even when they are praying, simply because they are just breathing sentences without uttering speech. Ooh, that hurts. And you cannot get victory that way. You must learn to take the victory and shout in the face of the devil, "It is done." It's done. Now, if you're shouting and you're praying for somebody, step back a little bit so you don't blast their ears out, okay? We don't want to pray for their hearing to be restored after you pray for them, okay? But be bold, okay? Shout it out. I just tend to step back because I got a big voice. I understand that. I don't. Like I said, just like when you lay hands on somebody to pray for them, you don't want to heal them by putting your hand on so hard that they have to have their shoulder massage afterwards. You got to have a light touch. Okay. All right. Here's our second quote. So let's go. We got the first quote up there, right? A church that does not know how to shout, how to pray and to shout will never be shaken. Okay. That means, okay, now let's look at the second one. There is no man who can doubt if he learns to shout. Write that down. Write it down. You can doubt if you learn to shout. Because God wants us to pray in faith. Faith. Believe God. You can't walk in doubt if you're shouting. Learn to shout. Now, I'm not asking you to shout at 100% today. You're allowed to learn. And I'm not asking you to do something because you got to feel the Holy Spirit inside of you to do this. I feel the Holy Spirit inside of me. I never shouted in church until the Holy Spirit filled me. Never. I just didn't. I was like, psh, quiet. I didn't do this stuff. But when the Holy Spirit came to me, I started shouting. And it was a small room I was in. It was a basement of a house. I started shouting. People were like, praise God. Pastor John's got the Holy Spirit. That's all right. And he didn't call me Pastor. I wasn't Pastor John then. I was a kid, a teenager. So God wants us to learn how to shout. There's no one to doubt if he learns to shout. When we know how to shout properly, things will be different and tremendous things will happen. So what's a proper shout? It's a shout of faith, not anger. Lord, forgive me for shouting more in anger than shouting in praise. Without Jesus, all you know how to do is shout in anger. And somebody's voice gets louder and louder and louder and louder and louder. And their anger goes up and up and up and up and up. And so if you're dealing with somebody like that, what's the first thing you want to do? Lower the volume, please, so we can talk. Right? If someone's mad and they're angry, their voice is a whole lot louder. And you can't talk to somebody like that. I've been there, done that, and I got the t-shirt. I'm telling you, you may be like not like me, but I'm telling you, that's what happens to me. God wants us to learn how to shout in praise, or as Smith Wigglesworth said, shout properly. He's British. They do everything properly in Britain. And we Americans don't do things properly. We just do them right. Down here, you do them right. Here you say right, right, right. I learned to say it right down here. Right, right. I don't know how to say it. I used to say it, but I say it differently. All right. So if Smith Wigglesworth were American, he'd say, when we know how to shout right, things will be different. All right, praise God. So here's a blessing I want to give you. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. Anytime you read in the Bible where it says, may the God, that is a blessing. The Latin term is benediction. Same word, blessing, benediction. Okay? So this is a blessing that Paul is praying over the Roman church that is also, I receive. I pray this blessing over my life, and I want to pray this blessing, and we need to pray this blessing over our lives here. It says, may the God of endurance and encouragement, this is what we saw happening right there in Acts chapter 4, grant you to live in such harmony with one another. That word for one accord and that shout also has that sense of a lot of people harmonizing together with a loud voice. So there's a sense of melody and harmony in that. Grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord. There's that word accord, one accord with Jesus Christ, that in one accord, together, there's the word together, that's that mob, passionate oneness, may give you with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See that? Who gives us the ability to praise God with one voice? It's God. It's only by God. It's only by God that we can be crazy for God. I just want you to know, I just don't want you to feel this kind of pressure to be something you're not. Don't feel that. The answer to it is to seek the Lord and say, God, I give you permission to fill me and to give me the shout of faith. I want the shout of faith. Give me the shout of faith. I want it to be something that's not normal for me. But I want it to be real. I want it to be you in me shouting. I don't want to do it because Pastor John wants me to, or my wife wants me to, or my neighbor wants, you know what I'm saying? I don't want it because of somebody else. I want it because it's you that does it in me. I want that kind of shout. I want it for myself that I'd say, man, I remember the day I started shouting God with a voice of triumph. You know, and I tell you what, there's a thing that we used to do when I used to coach football and basketball. Right before we start the game, we'd all gather together, right? We put our hands in the middle, and we go, okay, let's win the game. Right? No. You know what I'm talking about? We all get our hands and we go, whoa! Go win the game! And that's what I want to do today. That's what I want to do today. Because I want to do it in a way that I think you'll understand. Because I don't want to be a religious thing. You know what I'm saying? So I thought, why not? Let's just all get in a, you know, in a huddle right before the game, right, Kenny? And put all our hands in and then say, and then do a shout for God, Jesus, and go get him. Why? Because Jesus has won the victory. He won the game. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the beginning of the fourth quarter. It doesn't matter what it looks like during the game. And though the mob may try to rule out there, God has a shouting mob. He's got a shouting group of people that are going to shout in faith. But we got to get together and get in the game. We got to get in the game with a shout. That's what I feel like the Lord's trying to tell is this church. But not this, just this church. I feel like it is for the body of Christ in this nation. I really believe that. I believe that with all my heart that this is a word of the Lord that's more than just for us. And there's going to be some dancing in the street. Praise God. We're going to do it somewhere. We'll find a place. So I think the best place to do it is in the back of the church. So let's get together. Let's just get our hands in there. And we're going to go 1, 2, 3 and we'll shout Jesus. How about that? And shout it. Let's just shout it together, okay? Let's all do it. Amen.